الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. First let me begin by thanking the brothers behind this conference and also the brothers here at Masjid al-Farooq for hosting me and the other brothers who are here for this event. Indeed, it brings a Muslim great pleasure to discuss such a noble topic as the companions of the Prophet of Allah radiallahu anhum wa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama. I typically don't travel, especially in during the semester time, but when I was invited to come to talk about the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I could not only but find myself to reciprocate to the invitation. The topic which I was asked to address this morning or this afternoon has been entitled "The Readiness of the Companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Following Allah and His Messenger." And I have divided the topic into three parts. The first part is a discussion of some of the Quranic verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Prophet and addressed the companions, commanding them to obey Allah azza wa jal and to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second part of the talk will be discuss some of the reasons as to why the Prophet's companions were such in terms of their dealing with Allah's commandments and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, I'll conclude by giving some examples of the companions' readiness in terms of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Allah's commandments. Now, Allah in the Quran, in many passages in the Quran, He addresses the believers with His words, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. And these verses, while of course they are addressing all the believers, all those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of their revelation until the end of time, however, they were first and foremost addressing the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As when those verses were sent down from Allah azza wa jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, the address was first and foremost toward the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Yes, it does include the rest of the Ummah from their time until the last remnants of this Ummah, those who will be with Isa ibn Maryam ﷺ and those thereafter. But first and foremost, the address is directed toward the Prophet ﷺ and his companions because they were those who had iman when these ayat were sent down. And if we look at these ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, not only do we help, it will help us understand as to how the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, reacted to the commandments of Allah and to the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also it provides for us a benefit in that it teaches us how we should act. For it's while it is good for us to know how the Sahaba were, this increases our faith and increases our trust in them and so forth, but the main purpose of mentioning them is so that we may follow their similitude. And so therefore, by beginning with these commandments of the Qur'an, which were sent down specifically to them, and by extension including us and all of the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ until the Day of Judgment, as I mentioned, we understand how their attitude was, and also we learn ourselves on how our attitude should be. So let's take some of these ayat from the Quran. We find one ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah in the Qur'an, O you who believe, again, the address is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, initially, and by extension to the rest of us. Enter into a sin, holy. And I'll explain what the word sin means momentarily. So here is a command. O you who believe, addressed being to the Prophet ﷺ, his companions, and then to us by extension, enter into a sin holy and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. For indeed he is a clear enemy unto you. So what is this sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ and his companions to enter wholly into it? And also not to follow the footsteps of Satan, who is an avowed enemy or a clear enemy unto them. The sin is, as the scholars of the Arabic language have explained, it means to submit. And it means to sort of be compliant. So submission and compliance, and being rectifying oneself with Allah's commandments, all of this enters into the word as-sin. So it's the religion of Islam in reality. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands the believers, the companions first and foremost, and us by extension, that they should enter into Islam, into Allah's commandments, into obedience to Allah azza wa jalla, into compliance with Allah's regulations and that of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Into rectifying themselves so that it's in agreement with Allah's words and with the words of His Prophet ﷺ, wholly. Not partially. Not part of them and leaving yet part of theirs to their own desires or their own opinions or so forth. And at the same time, they should avoid following the footsteps of Satan. For Satan is an avowed enemy unto them. Let's take a second example. In Surah Al-Imran, in the following surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions first and foremost, and us by extension, says, "O believers, fear Allah." We should maybe say, show taqwa unto Allah. And then I'll explain what the word taqwa means. Show taqwa unto Allah as He deserves, as His taqwa should be deserves. And do not die except as Muslims. And the taqwa, in the Arabic language, means to place between you and something a barrier. And so then in the sense that a taqwa to Allah, as what here means to place between you and Allah's anger and wrath and punishment a barrier. So here the ayah is saying for the believers, being the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, first and foremost, and then us by extension, that they should place a barrier between Allah's anger and Allah's wrath. And between them and that. And that barrier should be as deserving of Allah, whose wrath is such that none punishes like Him. And that they should be ascertained that they do not die except in a state of submission unto Allah. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ Do not die except as Muslims. Islam being that's pure submission unto Allah. So here we find another command from the Quran. Let's take a third command. From the Quran. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, that being the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions first and foremost, and then us by extension. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اطيعوا الله واطيعوا الرسول. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. وأولي الأمر منكم. And those who are in charge of your affairs. فإن تنازعتم في شيء, if you differ in anything, فردوه إلى الله والرسول. Refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ If you truly believe in Allah and in the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ That is best for you. وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا And it is a better conclusion of your affairs. In other words, the dispute will come into a better end when you do that. The correct end. The best way to conclude the affairs. So here in this ayah, again, we find a Quranic prescription to the Prophet ﷺ and his companions and to us by extension, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers to obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And also those who are placed in charge of them. Now, ulil amri minkum, it refers to the scholars, it refers to the rulers, it also refers to anybody who is in charge of any affair of the Muslims, or whose opinion will bring benefit to the affairs of the Muslims. I mean, this is a generic term. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ If you differ in anything, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. And then Allah tells us that this is a condition if you truly believe in Allah and the last day. So that if you do not refer your affairs back to Allah and His Messenger, the implication is that you do not believe in Allah and the last day. It's an indication of unbelief. And that this to do such is better for you, and it will result in a better end to your affairs. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in the following surah, the ayah previous that was in Surah Al-Nisa, Allah commands, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, O you who believe, again the address is to the Prophet and his companions, and to us by extension, have taqwa unto Allah, which is to place that barrier between you and Allah's anger and wrath. وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ, and seek unto Allah a means which will bring you into His paradise, which will bring you into His pleasure, which will bring you into His happiness with you. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and also struggle, wage jihad. Of course, the jihad here in the most generic sense means any sort of effort, but specifically here it refers to fighting in the cause of Allah, fi sabilihi. And then if you're to do this, if you're to place this barrier between you and Allah's anger and seek a means that brings you closer to Allah, and then add to that waging jihad in His path, perhaps you might be successful. The implication is that if you do not place this barrier between you and Allah's wrath, if you do not seek a means to bring you closer to Allah, if you do not wage jihad in the path of Allah, then you will not be successful. That's the understanding of the ayah. Likewise, in the same surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, the believers, and us by extension, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءٍ إِن تُبْدَى لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not ask about things that if you're to ask about them, if it was to make clear to you these matters, it would make you saddened. It will make you feel bad. And the Prophet's companions understood this. So this is why we find, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions, that he says he praises the companions, of among whom he is one of them, by saying that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were such that they only asked the Messenger of Allah like 13 questions or 10 questions. You find in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you. It only occurs about 10 or 13 times. Because they were not one to try to delve into things, but they would respond, as we will see when we finish these passages from the Quran, and we will enter into their how they used to react. And likewise, in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, He says, O you who believe, again the address is to the Prophet's companions and us by extension, respond unto Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. وَاعْلَمُوا, and know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبَهِ, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes between a man and his heart. وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ, and unto him you will be resurrected for judgment. And here the intervention means that a person would be upon guidance, but because he seeks to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, so Allah will intervene between what he knows and him acting upon it. So Allah will set him astray. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah after a few ayat says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, again the address is to the Prophet's companions and to us by extension, do not show treachery unto Allah and unto His Messenger. And show treachery towards your covenants, your trust. And you know what you know you have made as forms of your commitments and trust. And as Ibn Abbas has explained, whoever does not obey Allah Azza wa Jalla, gives up one of the things that Allah has obligated upon him, he has shown treachery unto Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this treachery unto Allah Azza wa Jalla means any form of disobedience enters into treachery unto Allah Azza wa Jalla. Any form of disobedience to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the type of treachery unto the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And likewise, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the same surah again commands the Prophet's companions directly and us by extension by saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. That if you show taqwa unto Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a furqan, a criterion by which you can distinguish between truth and falsehood. وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, and He will also expiate from you your evil deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, and He will also forgive you your sins. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of a Lord of much bounty. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this ayah to the Prophet's companions and to us by extension, saying for them to have taqwa unto Allah, place that barrier, and at the same time be with the sadiqeen, be with those who are truthful. In other words, that their profession of faith is manifested to be true due to their actions. Their actions coincide with their profession of faith, and so therefore there's no hypocrisy or no divorce between what they say and what they actually do. And another surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sajidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yut'i Allaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'aziman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, again addressing the Prophet's companions and us by extension, have this taqwa unto Allah, put this barrier, and say a truthful word, which is La ilaha Allah, and it's also any word of truth, any truthful statement. Again, the intention here by truthful statement is not just speaking true words, not lying, but it means that your words and your actions are in agreement. That's the truthfulness here. What will happen if you do this? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Your deeds will become rectified, and your sins will be forgiven, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he will have won a great victory. And in Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, telling us of the dangers of not obeying Allah and His Messenger, يَا أَيْهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. And do not render null your deeds. Meaning by disobeying Allah and disobeying the Messenger ﷺ, you can render your deeds null. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has said, commanding the Prophet's companions and us by extension, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O you who believe, do not step forward between the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger, meaning before Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger's command. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And have this barrier between you and Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah hears and knows everything. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commands the Prophet's companions, we'll take this as a final example, even though there are many more, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيْهُوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نُصُوحًا. O you who believe, again the command is to the Prophet's companions, and to us by extension, repent unto Allah. And the tawbah means, we translate it as repentance, but it really means to go from one path back to the correct path. So it's to go away from being astray in any sense, back to the straight path, a true repentance, a true a true return. Now, these examples, and I gave about 13 or so from the Quran, we find in each one of them Allah addresses the believers by commanding them to obey Him, obey His Prophet, enter into Islam fully, not to disobey them, not to disobey Allah and His Messenger, not to follow the footsteps of Satan. If they differ, to refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. That if they obey Allah, Allah will forgive them their sins. That they will be victorious in the hereafter. That they should not render their deeds null by not obeying Allah and His Messenger. That they should respond to Allah and His Messenger's command. So all these ayat were revealed to the Prophet's companions. And these ayat left a mark upon the Prophet's companions. We see this mark in when we take certain examples of certain commands that came to the Prophet ﷺ, and we see how the companions responded to those commandments. Let us take for an example the ayat, or the final ayah, which was revealed regarding the prohibition of khamr, intoxicant drinks like alcohol and wine and so forth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ, that khamr, intoxicating drinks, and maysir, gambling, وَالْأَنصَابُ, anṣāb is a type of pagan practice, وَالْأَزْلَامُ, divining, type of pagan practice where they used to have altars to slaughter to their deities, وَالْأَزْلَامُ, which is a type of divination using arrows, رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمِلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, a evil filth from the handiwork of Satan, فَجْتَنِبُوا, so avoid it, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that you might be successful. Anas رضي الله عنه tells us that At the time this ayah was revealed, he was pouring wine to some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was a small boy in the Medina. He used to serve the Prophet ﷺ, and he used to also serve the other companions. So he said, I was pouring wine to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, one of the 10 who's been given glad tidings of going to paradise. And to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, another companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who memorized so many surah from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ tells us that if you want to take the Quran as it has been revealed fresh and so forth, that you should take from the recitation of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. And a group of the Prophet's companions with Abu, at the household of Abu Talha. And I had given them enough alcohol to the point that it had started to affect them. In other words, they started to get drunk. Okay. So a Muslim, one of the Muslims came, and he said, made an announcement, have you not realized that Al-Khamr has been now forbidden? So what was their reaction? I mean, here they are, they're drinking. They've drunk a degree of, an amount of it, so that as Anas has reported, that they start to become a little bit intoxicated, a little bit drunk. And an announcement is made that Al-Khamr has been forbidden. So Abu Talha tells Anas, pour out what is remaining with you. In other words, pour to the ground. And Anas reports, he said, by Allah, neither nobody entered nor left except that we had stopped drinking. In other words, immediately when the command came, Abu Talha, even though they were drinking and they were at that time, and they had even gotten, they were a little bit, you know, intoxication had started to take over them. Immediately they start to pour out what they had. In one narration it says that the streets of Medina start to flow with the wine. And in a third narration it says that what they did was they start to break all the jars that had the wine in Medina. And so then Anas also tells us that they began to make wudu, some of them, and some of them made ghusl, to go to the masjid, to hear the commandment of the Prophet ﷺ. And to hear these, and that they also put on some perfume. So it also shows how they, you know, respected Allah's house, that they came in there, you know, they didn't just go out as they were, they had just been drinking. So they made wudu, some of them made ghusl, they put on perfume to go out to Allah's house, to the masjid. What did they ask the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is very important. Did they start asking the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, you know, I mean, under what cases, what should we do about the khamar, you know, we still have some. No, they didn't ask about this. What was their question? They said, the question they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, what about our companions who had died before us and they had drunk? So, al-khamr was in their belly. Alcohol was in their belly. Because there were Muslims before the revelation of this ayah who had died. Some of them in jihad. Some of them died natural death and so forth. So what about them? This is what their concern was. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا طَعِمُوا, that there is no sinfulness upon those who have faith and do righteous deeds concerning what they had consumed previously. What does this show us? It shows us that how the companions reacted. I mean, we take from this story many lessons. First of all, when the command came, they immediately dropped what they were doing. I mean, Anas was pouring for them. They had already started to drink. I mean, Anas even describes that they were, some of them had become, you know, that the effects of them drinking had already started to affect them. And yet they poured out immediately what they had. The streets of, it wasn't just the household of Abu Talha with these companions, but the streets of Medina started to flow with khamr. They started to even break the jars that they used to have al-khamr in it. And the Arabs were very poor. So it wasn't even a situation where they said, okay, let's pour it out and let's maybe keep these jugs and so forth, but actually they broke it. And then they decide to go to the masjid to hear, because the announcement was made in Medina, so they want to go hear from the Prophet ﷺ himself. They make wudu, they make ghusl, they put on their perfume. They go out, and what's the question they ask the Prophet ﷺ? They don't argue with him about Allah's command. They don't question it. They don't try to find stipulations for it. But they're concerned about now their brothers before them, who had died and had died before al-khamr was forbidden. And as they said, they had died and then their bellies was al-khamr. whether they had died in jihad or they had died natural death, or I mean, whatever. It shows you how their readiness was to obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's take a second example. The second example is concerning riba. Riba was one of the final prohibitions in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the end conclusion of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, show taqwa unto Allah, in other words, put that barrier between you and Allah's anger and His wrath and His punishment, and give up what is remaining of riba, if you are truly believers. When this ayah was revealed, one of the tribes who had just become Muslim at the time of the revealing of this ayat was the tribe of Thaqif. And the tribe of Thaqif, they used to live in Ta'if, which is to the south of Mecca. It's a mountainous area to the south of Mecca. And they were one among the last tribes of the Arabs to enter into Islam. So, the Thaqif tribe had one section of the Thaqif tribe, the section of Amr bin Umayr. They had between them and the tribe of the subsection of the Makhzum tribe, Banu Mughira, which is a subgroup of the Makhzum tribe, between the two tribes was a form of riba in the days of Jahiliyyah. So the Thaqif, when they became Muslims, the Thaqif tribe said that, well, you know, we need to take the money that the interest which is owned to us by the other tribe. The other tribe said, no, in Islam we're not going to give interest. Because there already had been some prohibitions concerning interest and so forth, that interest was going to be prohibited. But I mean, the Thaqif felt that, well, this is something which was already done in the past, so you know the right is still theirs. I mean, it's forbidden for us to take interest in the future, but what's from the past is still, I mean, you know, our money, and still you owe us the interest on it. So they wrote to they contacted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's the person who he placed one of the second in charge in Mecca, Itab bin Usayyid. And Itab bin Usayyid wrote the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a letter in Medina regarding this dispute between these two tribes. So Allah sent down these verses, huh? O you who believe, give up, taqullah, I put a barrier between you and Allah's wrath, and give up what is left of riba. So what did the Thaqif tribe say? So we have repented unto Allah. By Allah we will not ask any of it. And they left the issue alone as soon as the verses were revealed. Again, this shows how their reaction was. They didn't try to argue with the Prophet ﷺ. They said, well, you know, we're not going to engage in riba anymore. We're now Muslims, but this is something from the past and so forth. Once the ayah was revealed, give up what is left of it, they just gave it up. They said, we repent to Allah. Likewise, another example which we can take is concerning the ayat in Surah An-Nur regarding women covering themselves, the way they dress themselves. It was the practice of the women in Arabia before Islam, that they used to cover their hair, the women in Arabia. But what they used to do with their head covering was they used to throw it behind their backs. Okay, so the head covering, they put it behind their backs, thereby leaving their face, right, their neck, and also their chest exposed. So you could see their earrings, you could see their neck, you could see their chest and so forth, because their head covering was placed behind their backs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nur gave the commandment that they should take their head coverings and cover ala jubihin, cover their neck and their breast area. The jayb is this, you know, area where you stick your head through the dress. You know what I'm saying? Your clothes. Okay, so they should take it and they should cover this with it. So in other words, they swing it around them, thereby doesn't exposing their neck or their ears or their breast. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha tells us about the Prophet's companions, the women companions of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she says, may Allah be merciful with the women of the Muhajir, al-Muhajirat. When this verse was revealed, they ripped off part of their clothes in order to cover themselves. Again, they didn't question. You don't find that any sort of questioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the command of Allah azza wa jalla. The verse was revealed, so they rip off part of the length of their dresses in order to cover themselves properly.